morning, Cascadia. Today is Monday, February 1st, 2010, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. And this is Air Cascadia, long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
In Clatsop County, Forest Department stooges for the timber industry want to change the rules to increase revenue.
PGE considers a biomass makeover for coal-fired Boardman.
And Christian missionaries caught trying to smuggle Haitian children to the Dominican Republic.
Portland area weather today, rain with highs near 48. More rain tonight and a little cooler. And then the next week looks wet with temperatures in the 40s and 50s.
And first we go to regional news from around Cascadia. The Kara Timber Plan, Oregon Department of Forestry's 2001 Northwest Oregon State Forest Management Plan, isn't the best example of responsible stewardship, but it's the best that we've got. Now, a proposal to cut more timber, and this isn't just any old trees, this is a serious old growth forest. On the Clatsop and Tillamook State Forests has divided North Coast residents. No less illuminary than State Forest Deputy Chief Mike Catherata wants to rewrite the plan, making it more favorable to timber interests because the money just isn't rolling in the way it was supposed to, if the private sector has its way. The state is going to fall short of the plan's environmental goals of creating older tree stands that provide habitat and ecosystem health, not to mention the air that we breathe.
Coal was bad, but is this much better? Portland General Electric is thinking about biomass conversion for Boardman. PGE currently has three options for the coal-fired plant. Close it, stop burning coal there, or make costly upgrades to clean up emissions. Faced with these options, the utility is looking at the possibility of keeping Boardman open by burning biomass instead of coal. European plants already import wood pellets from Canada, but wood pellets do grow on trees. Unless the source of the mass is sawgrass or some plausibly renewable resource, trees are just too valuable standing. The biomass greenwash is based on the belief that forest byproducts will fuel the future, but they already fuel the future and have done so for millennia by building new forests.
And it could be a prank cooked up by the Yes Men, but it's real. A company calling itself, wait for it, the Sustainable Power Corporation is the makers of Vertrolium, using, and again, quotes, only agricultural biomass feedstocks, never industrial or municipal waste. Well, I suppose that's a relief. Sustainable Power claims to be purveyors of environmentally friendly, finest biochar possible, and has a carbon-negative footprint. If it sounds too good to be true, it's time to talk to Rachel Smoker at Biofuel Watch. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning.
Thanks for being with us today. So the power industry has hit on a winner with biomass because, of course, the general public has only the haziest notion of what it is, so the industry can make any claims that it wants on behalf of the technology. And if we don't know what biomass is, we certainly don't know of what biochar is. None of it is good news for the forest, unless, of course, you want to convert all of our remaining wildlands into massive industrial tree farms. Can you talk a little bit about biomass and why it's a bad fit for Boardman or anywhere else?
Yes, well, I mean, using plants as a source of energy is just very ineffective because, you know, plants are limited in their photosynthetic potential, and, you know, they just don't provide much energy. And burning wood is very inefficient. Most wood burners, you know, just a very inefficient way of getting energy. And not to mention that the impacts on the land of harvesting massive quantities of wood. It takes about 13,000 tons of wood to generate 1 megawatt of electricity using a, you know, a burning technology. So it's extremely inefficient, and the impacts on the land around these facilities are enormous.
So this is the kinds of technology that are being proposed for Boardman and elsewhere in the country. How likely do you think it is How complex would it be to convert existing power plants to biomass plants? It seems like this technology, I read, oh God, the Sustainable Power Company's website, and it's difficult for me to see how that would fit with existing power plants.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, there's many, many different technical aspects of this that I don't have much grasp on, but I do know that at least partially co-firing biomass with coal is something that's not, it's not terribly difficult for most facilities to retrofit to be able to do that. And it is happening in many, many places. In Europe, for example, it's become pretty common practice to co-fire biomass and coal. And increasingly here in the United States, we see that happening too. And, you know, I think I recall seeing some figures from the Department of Energy, maybe it was, saying that, you know, that we could potentially replace something like 15% of the coal burning with biomass without too much trouble for most facilities. And, of course, if that was done on a nationwide basis, that would be an unbelievable huge demand for wood and other forms of biomass.
Thank you so much for that. My guest has been Rachel Smolka with Biofuels Watch. You can go to that website and get more information and take it from there. Call legislators. Tell them that just close Boardman. We don't need that type of power technology any longer.
A special month-long session of the Oregon Legislature convenes today in Salem. House Speaker Dave Hunt says work must be done on the business energy tax credit. It's become a little too successful and now costs the state too much money. Other tax credits will also be considered. Hunt says passage of Measure 66 and 67 means lawmakers will not have to make more budget cuts.
The website WikiLeaks has apparently run out of cash. They've been shut down for almost a month trying to cover costs. WikiLeaks, of course, as many people know, is a website where you find information that has essentially been covered up by other websites. It's refusing corporate or government funding because that they claim would compromise their integrity. They are described by The Guardian as the brown paper envelope for the digital age.
Oregon's coastline is being reclaimed by the ocean at an alarming rate. OSU's Department of Geosciences says possible causes may be changes in storm tracks, higher winds, more intense winter storms, or other factors related to global warming. Could be periodic climate fluctuations, could be waves or records are too short. One thing is clear, waves are getting larger and the beach is getting smaller. Now the locals have formed a committee aimed at saving their oceanfront way of life, and not a moment too soon, say scientists. They warn that the Pacific is trying to work its way right into the heart of town.
We're number four when it comes to wind energy generation. Anyway, yes, Oregon added more wind turbines than all but three other states last year. The American Wind Energy Association's report also says that despite tightening of the credit market, federal stimulus dollars continue to encourage wind development. The U.S. wind energy industry shattered all installation records back in 2009, chalking up the Recovery Act as a historic success in creating jobs, avoiding carbon, and protecting consumers. But U.S. wind turbine manufacturing, the canary in the coal mine, is down compared to last year's levels and needs long-term policy certainty and market pull in order to grow.
Portland police officer Thomas Brennan is filing a whistleblower complaint after he provided details of a call in which he thought his sergeant grossly overreacted. He recommended the sergeant be moved to a lower-profile assignment. Brennan himself was transferred to work at a property evidence warehouse after the whistleblower complaint. He claims he's being punished for speaking out. Brennan said he was worried that his sergeant seemed to be under too much stress while working the streets after his involvement in the heavily publicized police custody death of James Chassie, Jr.
Portland State University students are concerned about proposals to reorganize Oregon universities into public corporations. Not all of them, just the ones who are smart enough to, not all the students anyway, just the ones who are smart enough to value learning over training for a well-paid occupation, such as staring into rotten teeth, tumbling numbers for billable hours. Students warn that such restructuring could lead to higher tuition, bigger classes, and more corporate control over academics. The State Board of Higher Education is studying ways to restructure the state's 7 public universities. Last November, former University of Oregon President Dave Frohnmayer proposed converting the 3 largest universities into public corporations similar to Oregon Health and Science University so that they'd have, quote, more freedom and flexibility to make money, of course.
Yeah. An Oregon man is accusing Idaho police officers of destroying the mystical qualities of his Native American medicine bag when they opened it during a drunk driving arrest last summer. Clark Show recently filed a tort claim seeking $25,000 in damages from the Idaho State Police and Bonner County Sheriff Department. Show also alleges he was persecuted because of his religious beliefs after he was stopped by Northern Idaho authorities last August for driving under the influence of alcohol. In the tort claim, Show says the medicine bag had been blessed by a medicine woman and had been sealed since 1995. He says the bag's mystical qualities were damaged when opened by officers.
And now we're going to go briefly to Haiti with this update. Of course, Haiti now is trying to figure out what to do with the 10 Baptist missionaries who were charged on Friday with child trafficking. They claimed that they'd found these children and they were attempting to take them out of the country and place them in a Baptist mission in the Dominican Republic. While the Haitian government wrestles with that as well as its many, many other problems, recent incidents involving Haitian workers in the Dominican Republic should alert even the most jaded observers that an already very serious human rights problem there is getting worse. It seems incredible to me, although, of course, crossing the border into the Dominican Republic is the easiest, cheapest, quickest way to immediately get these children away from their parents and away from Haitian authorities, who are the ones who really ought to be in charge of them. There is a problem right now in the Dominican Republic. Haiti Libre, last June 29th, ran a story with the header, "Have Haitian pogroms in the Dominican Republic begun?" And a confluence of factors, a rapid succession of executions in the last few months, arrogance and defiance from Dominican government officials, institutions, and citizenry vis-a-vis the plight of Haitian workers, the shameful indifference of the Haitian government, and the relatively superior economic and military position of the Dominican Republic have created a, and this is a quote from Haiti Libre, "All of these factors have created a pre-genocidal atmosphere that raises the specter of the 1937 mass murder of tens of thousands of Haitian immigrants." So, when you hear stories about well-meaning, well-intentioned people attempting to move Haitian children into the Dominican Republic, it is worth digging a little bit deeper and finding out what the motivation might be behind such a move.
This has been Air Cascadia for Monday, February 1st, 2010. Engineering is Steve Nassar. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. Chris Andre is the producer. I'm Liam Delta.
And this has been Air Cascadia. News and comment on KBOO, Community Radio, 90.7 FM in Portland, KBOO.fm on the web. You can find all Air Cascadia shows, of course, on the KBOO website. Go to Air Cascadia, click archive. Your support, and your support only, keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members. Thank you so much for calling in during our recent membership drive and putting us over the top.
And now stay tuned for Locus Focus with Barbara Bernstein.
Thanks for listening. Have a good day, and thank you so much for your membership.